Today on The Journey.
Woodrow Crowe started Center for Bible Engagement. And they discovered that if a person is engaged in God's Word four or more times a week, their life is changed.
Scripture is a divine tool for the forming of souls. In the hands of the Holy Spirit, it can mold you into the person God created you to be. But first, you have to hear its instructions. In this half hour, Ron Moore teaches the Bible's importance and how you can ensure it marks your life. Before that, I want to let you know about Ron's book, Worn Out by Obedience. Its insightful reflections offer warning, grace, and strength for the spiritually weary, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your gift will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Ron for a message titled, Engage in God's Word, On the Journey.
We believe the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. In its original writings, it is without error. We believe that it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. Over a 1,500-year period through 40 different authors, God breathed, God spoke, God inspired His Word to us. His Word contains His love for us. It's a love story. It shows us how much He loves us. Everything God wants us to know about Him is right here in His Word. Everything He wants us to know about us is right here in His Word. Everything He wants us to know about how to have a relationship with Him, right here in His Word. And that's why we take God's Word so seriously. That's why we believe God's Word is so important. And we know this, God's Word, because it is God-breathed, has the power to change lives. Several years ago, when Woodrow Crowe was the president and Bible teacher at Back to the Bible, he put his finger on an alarming dilemma. In the land of tremendous religious freedom, in a land where 231 million Americans say, I'm a Christian, in a land where 91 million Americans, 29%, of the population say, I'm an evangelical Christian. I believe the Bible to be true. I believe it is relevant. I believe it is inerrant. I believe it is inspired. I believe that Jesus is the only way to have a relationship with the living God. I believe He is fully God, fully man. I believe that there is security in my salvation and I can live in that freedom of security. I believe that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and live with God forever. In this land of 29% of people saying that, Crowell said, why are we making such little impact? Why are we seeing the moral fabric of our country unravel before our eyes? So he started a research arm of Back to the Bible called Center for Bible Engagement. And over the years, they have surveyed over 300,000 people. And they discovered that if a person is engaged in God's Word four or more times a week, their life is changed. Now, when we say engage in God's Word, it means to read it, reflect on it, what is God saying, and then respond to it. What does God want me to do? Read, reflect, respond. And they found that when people do that four times a week, power of four, here's what happens. They share their faith with others 228% more than those who don't. They disciple others 231% more than those who don't. They memorize Scripture 407% more than those who don't. They give financially to the church 416% more than those who don't. They give financially outside the church 218% more than those who don't. Because they're in God's Word. Now, those numbers are staggering, aren't they? I mean, could that possibly be true? Maybe that's just researchers playing with numbers. Does interaction with Scripture really change your life to that degree? And if it does, how does it do that? Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 as we continue our study through this fascinating book. Last time we saw the writer paint a picture of an almost Christian, that person who loves to come and sing the songs, hang out at church, interact with people, but they don't have a life-changing personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That was the warning of the passage. The promise of the passage was, here's how you get that. Here's how you can have that relationship with the living God. You enter into that rest, that peace, through Jesus Christ. The warning and the promise. Now, after giving the warning and the promise, the writer says, here's the reason. Here's why you need to take the warning so seriously, and here's why you can take that promise to the bank. Look at verse 12. The word for, that word for gives the reason. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrows, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And then verse 13, I believe one of the most solemn passages in Scripture, and no creature is hidden from his sight, God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must stand before one day and give an account. You ready to do that? Let's go through this passage and see why God's word will change your life if you're serious about it. For God's word is living. That means God's word is relevant. The author of this book is not some dead person who lived many years ago. God is eternal. He is all-knowing. He knew exactly what we needed to hear, whether it was in the BC or AD. God's word is alive because the author is alive. He always has been and always will be. Now think of the way our world has changed over the years. From the time of Jesus to 1800s, information traveled as fast as a horse, right? Fast as a horse. Think about that. From the time of Jesus to the 1800s. And then in 1830 came the steam engine. And now information travels as fast as an iron horse. And then 1844, Samuel Morse famously tapped out that message that was sent 37 miles from Washington, D.C. to Mount Clair Station in Baltimore, kicking off the information age. Remember what he tapped out? Numbers 23:23. What has God wrought? Not a question, but an exclamation point. Then we went from the telegraph to the telephone to the television. Now the digital age where satellites can connect us around the world in real time. Think about what's happened. How in the world can this book be relevant when all those changes have taken place? Only because the author is God. He knows the human heart. And whether information is traveling the speed of a horse or in nanoseconds, the human heart still has the same issues. The human heart still has the same challenges. And when we get away from God's word, we live an anchorless life. God's word says right from the beginning that marriage is between a man and a woman for life. And regardless of what God's word says, man wants to be his own God, right? We want to define our own life. We want to redefine our truth. The very anchor of society is up for grabs now as we see the moral fabric of our country unraveling. And we go back to Scripture and we say, here is the truth of God's word. It is our anchor. It is relevant. It speaks to our heart today. Whatever country you're in, whatever stage you're in, God's word speaks to you. It is relevant because God is eternal. He's alive. He knows our heart. Psalm 119:18 says this, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. John 17:17, sanctify them in your word. Your word is truth. So you want an anchor. You want something that is relevant. You want something that will speak to your life today. You got to be in God's word. Not only is it relevant, but secondly, It is effective. The Word of God is living and active. That Greek word is the word from which we get our English word, energy. God's Word gives energy. It brings something about. It causes something to happen. When we are in God's Word, seriously in God's Word, it changes our life. It causes something to happen within us. We have to respond. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Here's one for parents and young people. How can a young man or how can a young person keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With all my heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we made so much progress today with technology, but really have we made progress? Today, tweens, 8 to 12-year-olds, spend 6 hours a day in front of a screen, a television screen, a computer screen, or their iPhone, and that's not doing homework. Teenagers, 9 hours a day in front of a screen. Probably 6 hours taking selfies to put on Instagram. And adults, isn't that amazing? Because what do? We also spend 9 hours a day in front of a screen. That's why anxiety and depression and all the social ills are flooding through our country. Time magazine, November 7, 2016, anxiety, depression, and the modern adolescent, surrounded by Facebook friends, Instagram friends, but dying inside. Pornography is being pushed to our sons and our daughters. 80% of pornography is free. And you don't have to go look for it. It comes to you. And some of you moms are saying, oh, Ron, my little Tommy is as pure as the wind-driven snow. And I know a lot of others would do it, but not my little Tommy. You are living in la-la land, if you believe that. God wired your little Tommy in a way where he is visually, sexually stimulated. Yeah, at 12 years old. And if you think putting a filter on that phone is going to fix everything, then you're naive again, because little Tommy knows how to get around the phone more than you do. It's not about filter. It's about the heart. How can a young man keep his way pure? By putting filters on his phone. No, by keeping it according to God's word. So how are you leading in that? And how are you leading your children in that? Wives, again, if you don't think your husbands have a problem in this area, again, you're being extremely naive. As the book says, it is every man's battle. And you need to be praying for your husband. And you need to be encouraging your husband to get in God's word. Guys, you got to be in God's word. It is an issue. Young men, Time Magazine, March 31, 2016. Why young men are advocates of stopping porn. It's not a Christian article. You know why young men are advocates of stopping porn? Because that pornography that they've been looking at since 12 years old is impacting their intimacy, not even with their wives. Again, this is not a Christian article. It's called porn-induced erectile dysfunction. And some of you are more shocked that I just said that than you're shocked that it's happening. See, when you go away from God's design, you get in trouble. Diseases. When man does what man wants to do, there are consequences. Men, some of you are killing your marriages with pornography. Young men, some of you are putting your future and your future intimacy in jeopardy. Parents, You got to see what's at stake. The thing you need to do for yourself and your child is to get them into God's Word in a meaningful way. God's Word changes lives. Filters are fine. I'm not saying don't use filters, but I am saying that's like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to God's Word. I've hid my Word in your heart that I might not sin against you. God's Word is relevant. God's Word is effective. God's Word is diagnostic. God's Word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. God's Word is like a surgeon's scalpel. And the writer here uses these two couplets, soul and spirit, and then joint and marrow. The couplets describe the innermost part of a man from the inside out. And the joint and marrow describes the substance and nature of a man. And so putting those two couplets together, he's describing the whole person. God's Word penetrates to your very soul. It penetrates to who you are. It probes our innermost part and shows us who we really are. By the way, that's why I believe a lot of Christians don't read Scripture. It's not because you don't have time. See, we don't like to get into it because if we really get into it, it tells us where we're messing up. It does for me. It's painful sometimes. If you discovered you had cancer after the shock, some of you lived through this, you would say, what do we do here, doctor, right? Maybe it's surgery and then treatment. How long is it going to be? You would begin the remedy. Well, Christians have a cancer of sin in their hearts, and this is the treatment. And yet, you know, we just don't have time. When you're in God's Word, He penetrates and says, here's something you got to check out. Here's something you have to change. That's why most Christians don't want to deal with it, because we're too busy doing our own thing, too busy living our own life. God's Word is relevant. It's effective. It's diagnostic. It is discerning. It is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. By the way, the heart is the center of your mind, emotion, and will. It's the headquarters of your life. And God's Word, when we read it, is able to judge that. It's able to pass judgment on what we're thinking and where we're headed and what we're feeling and what we're saying and what we're doing. It passes judgment on it. That's why it's so critical if we're going to grow in the Christian life to be in God's Word. There's no other substitute. 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So here's what Scripture does. Here I am going down my life, and I mess up. I get off track. The Bible teaches me first what path to take, but then I get distracted. And God says, when I'm in God's Word, what are you doing? Why did you do that? Why did you get off track? And it rebukes me. It recognizes my sin. It says, you've wandered off the right path. What are you doing? And then it says, you need to get back on the right path. It corrects me. Here's how you get back on the right path. And then I get on the right track and it trains me. This is how you stay on the path. Last one. God's Word is revealing. Look at Hebrews 4:13. No creature is hidden in His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. That's a tough one, isn't it? The word naked means nothing to cover. I have nothing to cover myself. When I go before God, I have nothing that can be used to hide. Remember Adam and Eve, they tried to hide in the garden? Can't hide from God. The word exposed means that which can easily be known. So I'm exposed. God has made known my heart. The word account is the Greek word logos, word or message. And the focus is the content of the message, making a statement. We're going to give a statement one day. And you know what the content of that statement is going to be? You're writing it today. You're filling in the lines. God's word changes life. That's why you got to be in God's word. When I read this verse, I think of two things. First, I think the author is completing his thought in Hebrews chapter 4, telling us that here's the warning and here's the promise and here's why it's so important. Because God's word is true. And secondly, it just reminds us, get in God's word, hear from him. Your life can be changed because one day you're going to give an account to him. How will we justify neglecting his word? God, I just didn't have time. How will we justify ignoring the idols in our life? Seriously? I had trouble with that? Yeah, I would have told you had you been in my word. How will we justify apathy toward obedience on that day? On the other hand, if you want to get serious about real life change, do you? It's up to you. If you want to get serious about sharing your faith, if you want to get serious about your addictions, if you want to get serious about your relationships, if you want to get serious about using God's money, God's way, then you have to be in God's word, period, the end. There is no substitute. There's no other book that's going to do that for you. It's this book, God's word. It changes lives. One more passage. Isaiah 55, for the rain and the snow come down and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Then verse 11, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. An amazing verse. God's word is not going to come back void. It's not going to come back empty. He sends it out and it's going to accomplish in your life the very thing he sent it out to do. If you're reading his word.
And Ron will be right back with a preview of our next broadcast. Please stay with us. Do you desire to turn the corner in your walk with Jesus? If so, maybe you don't know where to start. You feel held back by the past, or maybe you're calloused by sin. Well, King David, the man after God's own heart, experienced this very thing. In Ron Moore's book, Worn Out by Obedience, David is presented as a spiritual mentor. He's both flawed and on fire. He's the person you are and the person you want to be. In Worn Out by Obedience, you'll discover how God often molds your heart, like King David's, in seasons of brokenness, loneliness, and disappointment, sometimes even in your waywardness. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and can be yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a look at our next broadcast.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget to order your copy of Ron's encouraging book, Worn Out by Obedience. If you're spiritually weary, discouraged, or exhausted, Worn Out by Obedience will help you to keep going or start moving. Worn Out by Obedience is published by Moody Press and is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And we want our Pittsburgh area listeners to know about some exciting upcoming events. How would you like to experience the Bible coming to life as you walk in the footsteps of Jesus and reflect on his ministry in Galilee and Jerusalem. You can do that when you join Ron Moore in the journey for a 10-day biblical encounter tour in Israel from April 20th to 29th, 2020. To learn more, attend the information meeting at the Bible Chapel in McMurray on September 29th at 12:30 in the afternoon. Also, make note of two energizing concerts coming this fall. American Idol contestant and contemporary Christian artist Danny Gokey will be at the Bible Chapel on October 11th. Then, 10th Avenue North joins us on November 8th. For more information and tickets, visit biblechapel.org/concerts. And please remember that The Journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on The Journey.